Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the upper part of Daf Kuf Nun Vov Omer Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Our Gemara today opens up with a geometric form that is part of a series that started on Kuf Nun He Omid Beis. We have what we term the crown symbol. In the marking system, all geometric forms have more or less the same role, namely to denote a system or series of items or ideas that are related somehow. In this case, this is the fifth of a series of the same marking, and it was explained that the value of the crown marking will be appreciated on the lower part of this page. The topic heading that we provide in the Shas Ozer marked Gemara edition appears on the outside margin, the Nosei. The topic that we will deal with here are five Hei Tchumei Halocha, five areas of Halocha, Sheboidkim, where a checking is made, Im Heviu Sairos, if the party involved has brought forth the bodily hairs that show they have achieved the necessary age of godless of adulthood. Velo samchinon a shonim bilvad, and we will not rely on simple age alone. In other words, where we generally assume a person who reached bar mitzvah, who reached 13 years and a day, or a girl who reached 12 years and a day, we assume them to have reached halachic adulthood. But in five areas of halacha, we're not going to rely on the age alone, but we're going to necessitate an actual checking to determine that the bodily hairs that are required have appeared. Let us now see the list of items in the Gemara. After we see the list of items, the Gemara then will proceed to discuss each one, and you will notice in the geometric forms that appear, a new form appears a couple lines later, a diamond. This is to highlight each one of the five points that Rav Nachman will introduce to us. So we first read the list. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel. Boikim lekidushin, legerushin, ulechalitza, ulemiunin, velimkor benichse oviv ad shehe ben esrim. Notice, as we read point number 5, we read an entire group of words together, and that's indicated by the singular quotation mark that appears, which we call the phrase marking, instructing the reader to read all of the words together. The first point in the list was Likidushin. Let us take a look at the Rashbam on this point. Boitkim Likidushin. The Rashbam says, Afalpi Shehu ben Yud Gimel Shana V'yomechod, even though we have an individual that's 13 years and a day, Vo'isho Bas Yud Beis Shonim V'yomechod, or a girl or woman who is 12 years and a day, Loi Samchinon Ashonim Lachzukinhu kigedoylim ubnei seor, we will not consider them based on their age alone to be adults. Lehechoshev kidushehin vadai, in order to consider their kiddushin of a definite nature. Af lehokel kigon levatel kiddushei sheni shekidesh achrov vloget. Even with regard to a situation where a second party offers them kiddushin, and to consider the kiddushin void and let that couple, the second kiddushin, to be considered void and free them even without a get. Rather, elo boikim achrov, we will check out im hevi sairos, if the individual brought forth hairs of adulthood, oz yachshivu kiddushei vaday, then we will consider the first kiddushin to be of a definite nature, and hence the second kiddushin would have no value. Continuing in the Gemara asks, regarding the second item in the list, the gerushin, we got finished saying that we establish adulthood with regard to kiddushin by checking, so is it not obvious then that the couple have gone through the checking? There's no need for an additional checking when it comes to their divorce. They've already been checked in order to enter marriage. The Gemara asks, V'kevon debadakno likidushin, since we checked them with regard to their marriage and found them to be gedolim, found them to be adults, legerushin lamali, what in the world is there a need to do a checking for the divorce? The Gemara answers, loy nitzricha, the case of checking with regard to gerushin is necessary, elo liyibum, concerning the case of a yibum marriage. What's the case of the yibum marriage? The situation where a person was married and died leaving no children. The widow of the deceased marries the surviving brother. What happens if the surviving brother is under the age of godless, namely he's under 13, but he is, let us say, he is above the age of 9? The halacha acknowledges that the relations between the surviving brother who is above 9 and the widow of his deceased brother actually creates a marital bond. So now we've established a situation where a marital bond exists between someone who was not necessarily checked for his marriage, and in fact we know he's under 13 years of age, that he's basically a katan with regard to his marriage. He entered the marriage in a state of katan. This is a yibum marriage. In order to break up through a divorce this kind of marriage, a checking is necessary to ascertain that the young man has achieved godless with the appearance of bodily hairs, that those bodily hairs defining a godol. The Gemara explains, by citing a Tanaic source, we mentioned that the need for checking with regard to gerushin concerns the yibum marriage. Disnan, ben teisha shonim v'yom echad, shebo al yivimto, if a 9-year-old and one day surviving brother comes on, marries, has relations with his brother's widow, kon'o, that creates a bond, a marital bond. V'ein noisein get ad sheyigdal, and he cannot present a get to her in the event that they want to break up this marriage until he becomes a godol. So here we have a situation where a checking will be necessary for divorce. We notice another diamond. This is the third item in the list. L'chalitza. We mentioned that a checking is necessary for chalitza. Chalitza is the ritual in which a Yavam and Yavama, upon deciding not to enter the Yibum marriage, the Chalitza ceremony is performed. That breaks up, that frees the woman, the widow, to marry anyone else that she likes. That's what's Matir Lashuk. Rav Nachman's halacha states that we need to do a checking for Chalitza. So the Gemara points out, Rav Nachman's ruling is la'afuke midurabiosi. This is to the exclusion of a particular opinion found in Tanoim, namely Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi's opinion states that a woman, the widow, even if she is a ketana, even if she's under adulthood, she can participate in the chalitza ceremony. We, in this, in Rav Nachman's halacha, is coming to tell us not to follow Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and rather for chalitza, all parties concerned must be checked, including the woman. That's what we read now. Well, again, la chalitza, we say la fuke mit Rabbi Yosi, di omar, ish kosuv beparsha, aval isha bein gedoyla ubein kitana. Notice how we've used, in addition to quotation marks around the word ish, which is a word quoted from the posuk, Rabbi Yosi Hol, we've also used singular quotation marks, indicating the phrase marking, reading Rabbi Yosi's opinion in one breath. Rabbi Yosi's opinion saying that the Torah uses the word ish, indicating adulthood in the male. As far as Rabbi Yosi is concerned, the Torah requires adulthood for the man to participate in the chalitza ceremony. However, as far as the female, as far as the widow is concerned, even if she is a ktana, the Gemara goes on, komash molon, Rav Nachman comes to tell us, de makshinon isho le'ish, de lo k'Rabbi Yosi, that we are to compare the woman to the man, unlike Rabbi Yosi's approach. Meaning, just like the man, everyone agrees, must be adult, so too the woman must be an adult. And as such, we would have to do a checking to ascertain that she's reached adulthood with regard to chalitza. The next topic that requires checking, the next individual, is the issue concerning mi'un. This particular halacha involves a situation where a couple got together through what we would refer to as a rabbinic marriage. That's a situation where a mother of a girl or a brother of a girl saw to it that she gets together with a man. We can use the term marries a man, however, we have to understand this in certain limited terms. The halacha acknowledges that this girl, up till a certain point, she can actually back out of the marriage by her expressing her desire not to remain with the man. That is called mi'un, refusal. Up to what point can a girl express her desire to back out of this rabbinic marriage? So there are two opinions in Tanoim. The Rabbonan hold until she reaches 12. That is the opinion that Rav Nachman wants to acknowledge, and he wants to come to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that she can continue enjoying the rights of Mi'un until she gets a little bit over, until she reaches an age a little bit over her 12th birthday. And this is termed in the Gemara Ad Sheyarbe Shochor, which indicates a certain amount of hair growth that the Rashbam discusses, that indicates more than 12 years old exactly. Comes along Rav Nachman to say, we check out the girl, that once she produces the minimum amount of hairs indicating adulthood, at that point she can no longer do mi'un. And as we said a moment ago, this is to the exclusion of Rabbi Yehuda that would allow her to do mi'un beyond that age. Let's now read that in the Gemara. Ula mi'unin, that which we said we check her out for mi'un, and if she produces the hairs, she can no longer do mi'un, namely she produces the minimum amount of hairs. Well, this is an opinion that is coming to the exclusion of Rebuta. La fuke mit Rebuta, the Omar, ad sheyarbe shochor, that she can continue enjoying the mi'un rite even above the age of 12. Let us suggest maybe it's a couple months beyond her 12th birthday. Komash malon doloik Rebuta. Komash malon means Rav Nachman comes along to tell us not to adopt Rebuta's more liberal opinion, and rather the cutoff point is at the point she produces the minimum two hairs, and hence we have a checking to establish that with regard to mi'un. The next halacha, v'limkor b'nichsei oviv ad sheyehei ben esrim, this statement of Rav Nachman is coming to exclude another opinion that was mentioned in the previous sugya. La fuke miman diomar ben shmona esrei. This is coming to exclude the opinion that held a son is able to sell his father's property once he reaches 18. Rav Nachman wants us to say, don't follow that, but rather he must reach the age of 20. And at the point he reaches 20, if he has produced the bodily hairs that show adulthood, only then can he sell the landed property that he inherited from his father. At this point in the Gemara, you'll notice a series of numbers and squiggle underline expression, v'hilchisa. We are going to now be able to take full advantage of the crown marking that was featured above and started on the previous Amid. The Gemara is going to offer its rulings regarding the 5 points that have been covered before. V'hilchisa, toich zman kilifnei zman. This is a reference to crown number 1 that appeared on page Kuf Nun Hei Omid Beis. The issue came up, what is the halacha with regard to someone who is toch zman? Can they conduct the sale? There were 2 ages that we mentioned. In fact, we just mentioned them a moment ago, whether it be 20 years old or 18 years old. But those ages represent, they've completed their 20th year. In other words, they've celebrated their 20th birthday. What is the halacha with regard to a son conducting sales of landed property during his 20th year? So that was an issue that was discussed on the previous Omid. Here the Gemara rules that toch zman, that if he's in his 20th year or in his 18th year according to the other opinion, kilifnei zman means it's as if he's under age, and hence his sale would not be acceptable, would not be a legitimate sale. V'hilchasa kegidol bar menashia. This too is a reference to the discussion that was that accompanied the second crown on the previous Omid. Here the Rashbam points out on the last narrow line, V'hilchasa kegidol bar menashia, de ben yud gimel hayodea b'masa umaton, a son, a boy who's 13 years old, who is familiar with the ways of, with commercial activity, mocher b'nechse ovev afilu mikarkoi, he is able to sell even landed property, even real estate that he inherited from his father. And this is because he is yodea b'tiv masumaton, he's familiar, he's expert in commercial behavior. The next halacha, v'hilchasa kemar zutra. The Rashbam here too, and this 3 that you see in the Gemara corresponds to the crown image number 3 that was on the previous Omid, where Marzutra mentioned in the Rashbam tells us here, Deli edus metalteli meid ben yud gimel she'eno yodea b'tiv ma'asumaton avol be'edus karko lo, that if you have a 13-year-old who is not so expert in matters of transactions, he can serve as a witness with regard to portables, but with regard to land, he cannot serve as a witness. The next halacha, the Gemara paskins, v'hilchasa ki'ameimar. Ameimar being number 4 in our crown marking. Ameimar's topic concerned the giving of a gift of land that a 13-year-old, who's not expert in commercial transactions, we said in the discussion that Ameimar mentioned that even though his sales are not considered legitimate sales, a gift of land that he gives is binding, is legitimate. And finally, number five, V'hilchasa k'Rav Nachman amar Shmuel b'kulhu. Rav Nachman was the topic or the name we opened up with today in our shiur. And the Gemara is telling us that we follow Rav Nachman's rulings in all five points that he mentioned regarding checking for bodily hairs to ensure godless. The Mishnah discusses, brings forth some halachas or opinions, Tanaic opinions, concerning the topic that we've been dealing with very extensively in the last number of Dapim, namely the Matnas Shivmera, the gift given by a deathly ill individual. In this Mishnah, we're going to be introduced to Shitas Rebbe Lozar, which states that the Shivmera does not give his gift through speech alone. The topic heading that we featured in an outside margin, Nosei Machloikis Tanoim, I Amrinon de Devre Shivmera Kiksuvin Uchemesurin Domi. We will be presented with a Tanaic controversy regarding this very issue of a Matna Shivmera, the gift offered by a Shivmera. Is it concluded by verbal means alone? The Mishnah, Hamachalek Nechosov Al Piv. Someone is giving out his property verbally. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Echod Bori VeEchod Mesukon, whether it be a healthy individual or a sickly, a deathly ill individual. Nechosim, with regard to his property, we have two categories, and we've called them Aleph, and the next line, Beis. The first category, Sheyesh LeMachrayis, namely Nechosim Sheyesh LeMachrayis, which we can translate as landed properties, real estate, Niknim BeKesef UBeShtar UBeChazoka. Through the standard Kinyan means, that's the only way to transact real estate. And the main point worthy of emphasis here, and that this halacha applies to a deathly ill individual as well. V'she'ein lohem achrayis, namely nechosim, that are ein lohem achrayis means portables, ein niknim elo b'meshicha. They are not transacted unless you use a kinyan meshicha, physical act of drawing the item to you, and not through verbal means, including the Mesukon, the deathly ill individual. We read now the missing words that the Bach adds between the lines. V'chachomim omrim elu v'elu niknim be'amira. The landed property and the portables can be transacted through verbal means. As we turn to Amud Beis, Omru Lo, the Chachomim addressed Rebbe Lozer and said, there's an incident that we know that portables were transferred by a deathly ill individual through verbal means. Omru Lo, the Chachamim said to Rebbe Lozer, Maisa b'imon, the mother of Shel b'nei Reuchel, the mother of the children of Reuchel. Reuchel was the name of their father. Shoisa choyla, she was very sick. V'omra, and the mother instructed, Tinosein kevinti l'biti, I want this piece of jewelry, the kevinti, to be given to my daughter. V'hi b'shnei mosor mona, and the value of this kevinti is 12 mona. Umesa, the mother died, v'kaimu es devoreha, and the rabbis established her transaction, accepted the gift as being legitimate. So we see from here that through amira alone, through verbal means alone, the item was transferred. Omar Lahem, Rebbe Lozer reacts and said, you can't bring any proof from that incident. Bnei Reuchel, as far as the sons of Reuchel, that were alluded to in this story, Tikbareim Imon, let their mother bury them. In other words, they are Rishayim. As a result of their being Rishayim, these sons of Rachel, the Chachamim were actually quite happy that the mother gave to her, to the daughter, the this piece, particular piece of jewelry, and the transaction thereby deprived them of getting that particular jewelry. And the Chachamim accepted the transaction only as a means of fining them, of a, as a, we would term a knas, so as to prevent them from getting it, but not because this is an acceptable means of transaction in general. The Rashbam that we've noted with a dashed underline in the Rashbam commentary, uknosahu de konsum rabbonon, the kayem matnas imam lebita below kinyan. This was simply a type of a special contingency, a knas, a fine that the Chachamim accepted or levied in order to prevent the sons from getting it. But in general, Rebbe Lozer will tell you that verbal means of transfer of property, even if you're dealing with a very sick individual, it does not work. As the Gemara continues, we see a Tanaic source in which Rebbe Lozer opens up the discussion addressing the Chachamim, bringing another incident where we see that what Rebbe Lozer held to be a sickly individual was unable to transact, to transfer his property through verbal means, and had to resort to a standard Kinyan method. At the end of the source, we will notice the response offered by the Chachamim. Through the markings, you can see very quickly this squiggle underline at the opening where we squiggle underline Rebbe Lozer, and at the end, the Omru Lo is their response. Tanya, the Tanaic source begins, and you can see that it's a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that it appears in a frame. In our marking system, we frame all Tanaic sources. Omar lahen Rabbi Elazar l'chachomim, Maisa b'meroni echad. There was an incident involving a person from Meron, Shahoya b'Yerushalayim. He was currently located in Yerushalayim, and it's important to note before going further, as we mentioned before, this Meroni, according to Rebbe Lozer, was a Shchiv Meira, was very sick. V'hoyu lo metatlin harbe. He had a lot of portables. Ubikesh litnam b'matona. And he wanted to give them as a gift to somebody. And we must note that the receivers of the gift were not there. Omru lo, the rabbis that were near this Meroni in Yerushalayim, they said to him, Ein lohem takona ad sheyikne al gav karka. We've dashed underlined this because this is the heart of the discussion. They told him that there's no way for you to transact the portables to these receivers unless you transact the portables through a kinyan agav karka. Namely, by transferring to them ownership of a piece of land, they will be able to acquire the portables as well. Holach velokach beisela echod samach liushalayim. So this Meroni went ahead and acquired a piece of cheap land. Beisela, according to the Rashbam, is rocky land that's non-arable soil. He acquired this piece of land near Yerushalayim, v'omar, and he said the following: Tzfono leploni v'imoi mea tzoin u'mea chovios. The northern part of this base sela, this piece of land, I want to give to so and so, and together with that, 100 sheep and 100 barrels. Udoromo, the southern part, leploni, I want to give the southern part of the land to so and so, v'imoi Mea tzoin umea chovios. Umes, and the Meroni died. V'kaimu chachomim es devorov, and the chachomim accepted his gift and said that it was legitimate. Amru lo, the Rabbonan who disagree with Rebbe Lozar said, you think you're going to prove to us from there that verbal transfer is not effective? Misham Raya. Moroni, the fellow featured in that story, Bori Hoya, he was a healthy person at the time of the Matana. And of course, when dealing with a healthy person, a verbal transfer does not work. And hence, that's why they told him that you have to transfer the portables together with land if you want it, if you want the gift to go through. Omar Lahen, this is a quote from the Mishnah where Rebbe Lozer said, Bnei Roichel, Tikbareim Imon. Rebbe Lozer, in effect, cursed them. And as a result, Rebbe Lozer's intention was to tell us you can't learn standard halachic procedure from what took place over there. Gemara asks, "My taimo kolayet lehu? Why is it that Rebbe Lozer cursed them?" Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, "Mekayme koitzim bekerim hoyu." They were a group of fellows, these Bnei Roichel, that maintained thorn plants in their vineyard. This representing a problem of kilayim. Let's point out that thorns are a type of meichel behema. Camels eat thorns, and meichel behema is included in the restrictions of mixed varieties of plants when it comes to hilchas kilayim, in this case kilei hakerem. And they were violators of the halachas concerning kilayim, and as a result of that, Belozer felt them worthy of receiving a curse. Verebi Elozer, Vetameh. Rebbe Elozer, who portrays them as violating this halacha, namely, Mekaimei Koitzim Bekerem, he's consistent with with his opinion is found in the Mishnah. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see once again in a frame, the Snan, the Mishnah in Maseches Kilayim says, Hamekayim Koitzim Bekerem, Rebbe Lozer Omer Kidesh. Kidesh means ruins, makes unfit. The crops become usser because they were thorn crops become usser because they were allowed to grow in a vineyard. V'chachamim oimrim lo kidesh elo davar shekamohu mekaimin. The Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Lozer and say that thorns would not become usser if they're maintained in a vineyard, because that which becomes forbidden are only those things that are generally speaking cultivated. The Gemara will explain this machlokas a little bit more. Omar Rabbi Hanina, we skip this bracketed section. The Bach suggests that there are those that are not goreset, that don't have this version. So Omar Rabbi Hanina, my taimo de Rabbi Elozer, what is the reasoning behind Rebbe Elozer that said even thorns are considered included in the prohibition of kilayim? Shekein be'aravya mekaimin koitzin basodois ligmalehen. Because in Arabia, the people there maintain thorns, cultivate thorns, they even cultivate thorns in their fields for their camels' consumption. The Rabbonon, however, follow Ruba di Alma. They're not preoccupied with a particular country. They look at the larger picture and conclude that Rove of the Olam is not Mekayim Koitzim, doesn't maintain and cultivate thorns. Omar Rabbi Levi, Koinen Kinyon Mishchiv Meira, Afilu Beshabbos, Velo Lochush Ledivre Rabbi Elozer. Generally speaking, commercial transactions are certainly forbidden on Shabbos, but not only commercial transactions are forbidden, but kinyonim in general, symbolic acts that through which ownership is transferred, are not done on Shabbos. And there's a gzeira not to make kinyonim on Shabbos, or to, in anticipation, if we allow kinyonim to be concluded on Shabbos, people will engage in business deals as well. So there's a general restriction on conducting kinyonim, any forms of transaction of ownership of items on Shabbos. Rabbi Levi, though, tells us that if you're dealing with a deathly ill individual, we will allow him to do an act of kinyon, even on Shabbos. This acknowledgement of kinyon with regard to a shchiv mera, Rabbi, the Gemara points out, is not a function of our being concerned with Shitas Rabbi Elazar that we saw in the Mishnah that says the only means of a shchiv mera to conduct transactions is through kinyan. Not so. A standard shchiv mera, according to the Gemara, Rabbi Levi would say a standard shchiv mera could conclude his transactions through verbal means as well. However, if you're dealing with a shchiv mera that himself it doesn't rely on verbal means, isn't convinced that a verbal agreement would be enough, and he has this feeling that I've got to do a kinyan, so since we're dealing with a shchiv mera, and we're afraid that if he has any matters that upset him, what we call shema titroiv daito, then we will allow him to conduct a kinyan on Shabbos, being that he doesn't believe a verbal agreement would work, and he feels secure only with doing a kinyan, we'll make that allowance for him, as the Gemara says, not because of our concern for Shitas Rabbi Elazar that says only a kinyan works. Elo shemo titrof daito olav. If we don't allow this particular shchiv mera, who feels that a verbal agreement wouldn't be enough, and feels comfortable only by doing a kinyan, we allow him. The Rashbam points out in the dashed section that you find in the toward the lower part of the narrow lines, Shemo titrof daito olov, Talo somcha daite, he is not convinced that his will would be fulfilled through verbal means alone. Hilchok kedei lahof his daito, therefore, is to make him feel comfortable. Koinin afilu b'shabbos b'chol matonoso, we will allow him to conduct a kinyan in any form of matona that he wants to perform. Bein shishir v'tzorch kinyan, whether it be a case of a matna shemera in which he retains for himself some property, bein shebelo shir v'mirosagi, or it be a case of a standard matna shemera where he doesn't retain anything for himself, that generally speaking, verbal agreement would be enough. In this case, since we're concerned that he doesn't become upset, we allow him to do a kinyan, even on Shabbos. Before we go on to the next Mishnah, let us glance at the side, at the outside margin for our topic heading. Nosei, Oid b'inyan machlekes hatanoim b'divrei shchiv mera. Further information, further reference to the machlekes tanoim regarding the gifts of a shchiv mera. Mosai aminon shedvorov mo'ilim. When do we say that his words, that the verbal giving is effective? B'Shabbos, b'chol, we'll talk about a possible difference between Shabbos versus a weekday. We'll see the deos, the different opinions on these matters presented in the Mishnah. And another point, machlokas tanoim, be'inyan zochin l'odom. Another machlokas tanoim, regarding the ability to transfer ownership to a receiver through the intervention of a third party, whereby I ask someone or I give something to someone and I say, accept this on behalf of so-and-so. So the introductory note goes on to point out the issue of zechia is avur katan, if the ultimate receiver is a child under adulthood, under 13, avur gadol, or zechia for an adult. Let us look at the Mishnah and pay close attention to the Shittas, because when we get to the Gemara is going to try to align our Mishnah with a particular opinion about these Tanoim when we see a Brisa that follows. Starting the Mishnah. Rebbe Elozer Omer, B'Shabbos Devorov Kayomin. Though we saw Rebbe Elozer before saying that a Shchiv Meira needs a Kinyan in order to effect a transfer of ownership, if you're talking about Shabbos day, and the Shchiv Meira is saying what he wants to be done with his property, his verbal statement will be binding. Why on Shabbos will it be binding? B'nei she'ein yochol lichtoiv. Because he has no other option. He can't write it out. He can't write a shtar because it's Shabbos. Avol lo b'chol. But on a weekday, since he has a solution through a means other than a verbal statement, namely, he could write a shtar during a weekday, therefore, during a weekday, Rebbe Elozer says, a verbal statement on the part of the Shmar will not be effective. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. Rebbe Elozer Omer, im b'Shabbos chilek nechosov, if on Shabbos he's dividing out his property, oz tiknu chachomim shiyu dvorov kayomin, then the Chachomim established that his verbal statement will be binding, below kinyan uksiva, without the need for a transaction or a writing of a document. Why do they allow for the shelo titro of daito? So that he shouldn't become upset. Shemin hadin ein yochol liknos v'lichto b'Shabbos, because by letter of the law, he can't do any other thing. He can't make a kinyan, and he cannot write, because it's Shabbos. Avolo b'chol. But not during a weekday. Sheyesh takona b'kinyan uksiva. He has another means. V'loma titro of daito. Why would he be upset if his verbal agreement is not accepted? He has no reason to be upset. He has another means. Continuing in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, B'Shabbos Omru. On Shabbos, it was said that the verbal agreement that the Shchiv Meira mentions is effective. Kal v'choymer b'chol. If on Shabbos, where he has no other option, and we allow it to be binding, then certainly during the Chol. Now, in order to explain this, let us make a reference to the Rashbam inside. B'Shabbos Omru, Shedvorov Kayomin, Afal Gav, Teleko Lememar, even though, since we're talking about Shabbos, even though we don't have the following logic to apply. Migu diyochol lahaknois velichtoiv ki lo ovid nami koni. Since he could makne and he can perform a kinyan and write. When he doesn't do it, it works. The kal v'chomer b'choil. And certainly b'chol, if he transfers something verbally, certainly b'chol, it will work. And why is that? For the following reason: the chol haroy lebila ein bila makeves, which means, without translating this literally, but it means when something is available in the potential. For example, during a weekday, potentially he could write out a shtar. This rule says that when something is possible in the potential, then there is no need to actualize it. So, if on Shabbos, when we don't have this particular piece of logic, namely, on Shabbos there isn't the potential for writing out, and even so, we say that his verbal agreement works, is effective, during the weekday, when we can apply, when we're able to apply this piece of logic, that it exists in the potential, then all the more so will his verbal agreement be acceptable. Continuing in the Mishnah, Kayotze Bo, similarly, Zochin Lekoton, V'ein Zochin Legodol, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. The act of transfer of ownership of items known as Zechia, whereby I ask somebody, take this item on behalf of the receiver. According to Rabbi Elazar, if the receiver happens to be someone underage, then this institution exists, namely the institution of Zechiah, where a third party can accept on his behalf. However, Zechiah does not work on behalf of a Godol, and the reason for that is, since the Godol, since the adult, can conduct his own transactions, we do not have an allowance for someone else to accept on his behalf. On the other hand, as we go on in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lekoton Omru. Zechiah was instituted for a Koton, for a child, Kalvachomer Legodol. If it works for a Koton who, in potential, doesn't have the ability to create Kinyonim, to conduct transactions, and yet Zechiah works, so all the more so for a Godol who has his the ability on his own to conduct transactions. We just learned the Mishnah with a Reisha and a Seifa, the Reisha speaking about Matnas Shchivmira, context of Shabbos and Chol, and we saw Seifa dealing with the issue of Zechiah with regard to a Koton and Godol. We saw a Machlokas Tanoim, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua in the Reisha and in the Seifa. With all that information having been presented, the Gemara now asks, Masnisin Moni. Our Mishnah follows whom? Let us explain a little bit. Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua, for our purposes, represent an earlier group of, an earlier pair of Tanoim. From time to time, we find later Tanoim presenting the controversy of earlier Tanoim. In our Mishnah, we have a particular version of the Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. We're going to see a Tanaic source, a Brisa, that starts here at the bottom and continues till the top of Kuf Nun Zayin Omer Aleph. And you'll notice diamonded names, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda being a later pair of Tanoim, each one of them features their version of the earlier Machlokes Tanoim, the earlier pair, namely Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Our Gemara is asking, our Mishnah, whose opinion of the later Tanoim does it, the Mishnah, represent? What this requires of us is to go through the Brisa and see if we can parallel the presentation of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda to the way the Mishnah presented the Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. So let us begin. Our Gemara says, Masnisin Moni. Our Mishnah follows whose opinion? Answer, Rabbi Yehuda he. Our Mishnah will conform to Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yehuda, we've noted, appears on the next Omud, on the top of Kuf Nun Zayin Omud Aleph, where you see Rabbi Yehuda's name in a diamond. And when we get to Rabbi Yehuda, we will then be able to see clearly how his version is the same as that which appears in our Mishnah. For the time being, though, we first go through Rabbi Meir And we'll notice that Rabbi Meir's presentation of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is not like that of the Mishnah. Desanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Meir says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Bechol Dvorov Kayamin, a Shchiv Mira that issues his verbal desires of property distribution, if it's during a weekday, then his verbal instructions will be binding. The reason that during a weekday his verbal agreement will be binding is because he has the potential of writing it out. And the rule that we made reference to before, that if something is available in the potential, then there's no need to actualize it. In this case, since in potential the Shchiv Mera could write it out, there's no need for him to actually write it out, and his verbal statement will be enough. Avolo b'Shabbos, the verbal statement will not be binding if he mentions it, if he states it on Shabbos, because of the same logic. Since the potential for writing doesn't exist, we therefore insist on it being a possibility. And hence, since in potential it doesn't exist, we say that the verbal possibility does not apply. Doesn't exist. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Bechol Amru. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the words of a Shchiv Mera, the verbal agreement of the Shchiv Mera, is binding during the weekday. V'kal v'chomer l'Shabbos. And all the more so for Shabbos. If during the weekday, when he could write, we allow him to get away with a verbal statement alone, all the more so on Shabbos, where he has no other option, and because of our fear that he'll become upset, shelo titrov daito, we all the more so will allow his verbal statement to be binding. Kayotze bo, similarly, zochin legodol, v'ein zochin lekoton. The institution of zechia applies if the ultimate receiver is an adult, but zechia will not work for a katan. Once again, the gadol, since he has the potential of concluding a kinyan on his own, we don't insist on the actualizing of that potential. The katan, on the other hand, doesn't have the potential for conducting a kinyan on his own because he's a katan, he's a child, and as a result of the inability to carry out a kinyan in potential, we do not allow the zechia option. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, begodol amru, kal v'chomer lekoton. The zechia option exists if the receiver is a godol, and all the more so for a koton. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. At this point, though, it's important for us to see the parallel between his presentation of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and that which we saw in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, b'Shabbos dvorav kayomin, mipnei she'enu yochol lichtoiv, avolo b'chol. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, as Rabbi Yehuda sees things, the divrei Shchiv Mera, the verbal agreement of the deathly ill individual, will be binding on Shabbos, but only on Shabbos, because he has no other option, but not b'chol, not during the weekday. And if you glance back at the Mishnah, that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah said. Hence, we know that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda's presentation. And likewise, the same thing with Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, b'Shabbos Amru, kavachomer b'chol, that the divrei Shchiv Mera, the verbal agreement of the Shchiv Mera, is effective on Shabbos, and all the more so if he states his desires on a weekday. Kayotze bo, Zochin lekoton v'ein zochin legodol, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The zechia institution works for a child, but not for an adult. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, as presented by Rabbi Yehuda, and that is the same thing we saw in the Mishnah as well, under the Rabbi Eliezer heading. Rabbi Yeshua Omer lekoton amru, kavachomer legodol. And this too we saw in the Mishnah, that zechia works for a koton, and all the more so for a godol. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.